Company in Mansfield salutes our area healthcare providers, first responders, and EMTs serving on the front lines of COVID-19. It is with humility we extend our thanks to you. Thank you for showing up daily in the face of fear and fighting for the health of our loved ones. Thank you for risking your lives and for continuing to stay in the fight. That's from your good friends at Mansfield Drug Company, located at 132 Jefferson Street in Mansfield. Their number is 318-872-1933. They are always working to keep our community moving in a positive direction. Mansfield Drug Company is a proud sponsor of KAYT KQJO.
Psalms 121, verses 1 and 2. Remember this? I look up. I'm sorry, somebody here grew up on King James. I'll look to the hills. From whence cometh? That's when you know it's King James. Cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. I like God's word version. It's just apropos for my message today. I look up toward the mountains and then peep the rhetorical. Where can I find my help? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I look up. You know what I'm preaching. Push five people. Tell them, please look up. Go ahead. Tell them, please. Please look up. Look up. Look up. Take your seats. Take your seats. So a few years ago, I'm on one of my bucket list trips, Paris, France, Michelangelo, Sistine Chapel, just all these things, Italy, just walking through that area of the world and flying all around, just enjoying. And I happened to decide to take my girl out one night in Paris, and we ate outside at one of those restaurants that are outside. And I happened to be seated next to a couple. I should have been minding my own business, but I couldn't help but look at him. And I tapped my girl and said, baby, they haven't looked up the whole time we've been here. I mean, they looked up and ordered their food. I'm serious. After they ordered their food, they never looked up again. We were in a tourist area, so presumably they were tourists also like us, probably on their dream vacation. And as opposed to taking in the moment, they just both looked down the whole time at their phones. I guess my holy hypothesis and theological thesis this weekend is this: the whole world is looking down. The whole world is looking down. Sadly, 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 from ominous cryptic tweets from our commander-in-chief, as opposed to hearing relevant political discourse, we have to turn on the TV and hear about whining politics and whistleblowers. It's sad now that 20 people got shot where they were just trying to shop. The world is looking down, both physically and literally, and one would argue even spiritually. Things are looking down. In the midst of all of that, I came with good news, and that is it's time for the believers to look up. To look up. To look up. In an interesting survey in South Korea, interviewed college students, and come to find out that women are more addicted to their phones than men. Yeah, 1,286 students were surveyed from 6 different universities, and women, 52% of them admitted to using their smartphone at least 4 hours a day. Ironically, with men, only 29.4%. Seems like women would be busier than men with babies and jobs and men that need you, and yet women find 4 hours a day to look down at their phones. In another poll, 50% of children and 27% of their parents admitted they were addicted to their phone. Real research, they're finding when you pull gadgets away from kids, they are acting out. From the time they were one, you gave them something to learn how to read with. We learned how to read with books. They learned with an iPad talking to them. And then you pull it back. They're literally having that kind of stuff going on. Check it and see. Pull it away from them. They start acting out. They can't imagine life without something in their hand. The whole world is looking down. Families are looking down. Couples are looking down. I travel a lot. Every airport, the whole airport is looking down. Restaurants looking down. Movie theaters looking down. How dumb is that? You paid your money and looking down. And even in churches. I was sharing with all the services this weekend that I'm so grateful. I look around. You do this long enough, you learn in terms of homiletics and how you approach a crowd. I speak for a living. Been doing this since I was 15. So where most people would be nervous up here, this is kind of what I do. I'm not good at much, but kind of talking to people is what I do. So no crowd makes me nervous. It's what I do. It's what I love, helping you, seeing the light come on. So I look around when I'm up here. If you ever notice, I'm looking to see who's looking and paying attention. I like to look at my crowd, look at each person in 2 or 3 seconds. It makes everyone feel engaged, as opposed to looking over their heads like nervous speakers do. You look at everybody and just make everybody understand you're here to help them, not run from them or be afraid of them, and to look right at. One of the things I notice as I'm looking around is nobody looks down when I'm preaching. And not because I'm the best preacher, I'm just going to act crazy to you. Listen to me. Let my voice go up and down and do whatever I got to do and keep it funky and not be the same in colors and different things, because I understand that the hardest crowd to preach to is one that sleeps. But can I say this in a very real sense? Thank God that not many people look down when I'm preaching. They come to hear the word and to look up to Jesus. Can I tell you something? The psalmist gives us some great advice. It's right there on the screen. Psalms 121 says, I'll lift up my eyes. I'll look up. I will lift up my eyes. I'll look up to the mountains. Wow. Wow. Those of you that engage sort of geographical understanding of that area, then you know that Judea was very mountainous and Jerusalem was on a mountain. So whenever they were in captivity or in dispersion, no matter where they were, they could just look toward that mountain. And that mountain reminded them of where God was. That mountain reminded them that no matter what I'm going through, if I can just look to that mountain, God is the creator. I don't know who I came to preach to, but whatever you're going through in your life, you can always stop and look up to heaven and say, God, I don't know what he doing, they doing, them doing, but I got to keep my eyes on the only person that can keep me. Sometimes you got to stop looking around and just look up and say, God, I can't really trust nobody but you completely. You are the source and center and the centrality of my being and my joy. Sometimes you simply have to look up. You have to. I'm sorry. I think I'll stop and tell you. I don't know who this word is for. Receive it right quick. It's been rough for some of you. 2019 was not what you thought. Something hit you you ain't see coming. There's one child still not right yet. There's a marriage. There's a couple. There's some money stuff. There's some mama stuff. There's some daddy stuff. There's some physical stuff. I got a word for you. Receive it. God told me to tell at least percentage of you things are looking up. Y'all just missed y'all chance to shout. I don't know how rough it's been this year, but 25 of you should know that you're going to end the last 3 months better than the first 9. That 2019, you know what? I tried to go Biggie. Now I got to go hip hop. Touch your lips and say, I'm all the way up. Go ahead and say, nothing can stop me. God is on my side. Can I get 50 people that would slap 5 people high five? Tell them I'm all the way up. Go ahead and say, it's been rough. The devil tried to keep me down. But I'm getting up from this. I'm getting up in my finance, up in my spirit, up in my relationships. And if don't nobody change, God's going to change me. He's going to make me what he wants me to be. Stand up and sit back down and holler up, 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 up. Get up and stay up. But Pastor, you don't know me like that. Yeah, I gave you an emotive response. But in a very real sense, things are nebulous. Things are idiots. There's a whole lot going on in my life. I'm not sure. I'm suffering right now. I love Jesus. I love you, Pastor. I love my church. I love the members. But real talk is that I'm suffering right now. I'm suffering in ways that the person next to me don't know. I'm going through. I'm challenged right now. I gave y'all this scripture last week, but didn't nobody feel it. I threw a homiletic stone, and everybody ducked and missed it, so I'm going to throw it back at you again. Here it is again, 1 Peter 5:10. After you have suffered for a little while, the God out of all grace will himself, you missed it, not no angel, himself, you missed it, not Gabriel, not Michael, not Raphael, himself establish, perfect, and confirm you after you have suffered. Any church that does not preach sometimes suffering, leave there. Any pastor that does not preach sometimes suffering, some of the stuff that preachers be promising, I just cut my TV off. You sending money and buying handkerchiefs, I'm cutting my TV off. Whenever you watch somebody that does not preach some kind of suffering, some of the stuff people think the Bible promises, it does not. Let me tell you something that the Bible promises. In this life, you will have trials and tribulations. Let's have church. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Which means in the midst of it, Jesus said, I win, because he died on Calvary for you. So no matter what you're going through, you still win. In this life, you will have, after you have suffered for a little while. You know what, touch your neighbor and say, your little while is not my little while. Go ahead and tell you, because I've been with Butch for 33 years. I got one son that's 50, Pastor. He ain't never been right. I got one parent that's never spoken to my life, and I got a mama, my mama. I got a bother with my father. My sister's in my trip. I've been suffering my whole life, and you're going to say, a little while? That's insulting. Pastor, I've been in this stuff a long time. You better read your Bible. The Bible says with God, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. You think you've been in it 30 years, heaven said, it's just been 30 seconds. Y'all missed that. God said, go on and praise me in the midst of it, because after you've suffered long enough. Now, here's what you better shout about. God is not going to let you lose your mind. You know what? Next time somebody try to blow your mind, you touch him and say, you can't have my mind, because I'm going to need my mind for my next man. Y'all missed that. I'm going to need. I wish I had 30 people here that would have church with me and realize he will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him after. Downtown, those watching me all across the nation, the Word Church Nation, Canada, California, Detroit, Alabama, Mississippi, Europe, wherever you're watching from, this word is for you this weekend. Cleveland, Ohio, R.A. Vernon, the Word Church came to encourage you and tell you, as hard as it is, after you've suffered a little while, then the B clause of this text trips me out, because he then asks us a rhetorical, where can I find my help? Now, we know the psalmist knew where the help was coming from. So this is rhetorical. It is dropping information and revelation. It's not seeking anything. It's giving you something. He says, where can I find my help? Where can I find my help? My help, oh, where can I find my help? Where can I find my help? And then a scripture jumped in my mind as I was studying that you already know, but I just want you to sort of cross-pollinate and intertangle how these scriptures connect. Where can I find help? Here it is, Hebrews 4:16. Get a hold of everybody. You all know it. You all know it. Let's read it together. Ready, said, read. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Elder-elect Howard reminded me, he said October 7th, 2018 changed his life. Some of you don't know what that means. That's 1 year from next weekend that I got back from Ghana and stood on this stage on a Sunday night at 6 p.m. and said, Holy Spirit, have your way. And prayer took over our ministry, and thousands have been praying in tongues and some praying in English, but we all praying more. Prayer, I've been teaching and preaching on prayer now for one solid year. You think I'm going to stop now? Let us therefore come boldly. He said, Dad, that changed my life. October 7th, I stopped some stuff I ain't never went back to. I've changed everything. I haven't stopped praying. I've been on fire in tongues since that day, since that night when you said out of your belly. He said, it came out of my belly that night, and I have not stopped praying in the spirit since that night, every day since, on my job, driving, wherever I'm at. Let us come boldly. You know why he can come boldly? Because Christ broke down the middle wall of partition. We no longer have to go through ritual and religion. We don't have to go through the high priest. We don't have to worry about someone going in for us. We can go. I don't know who's watching. You know, I'm a Christian. I'm not one of those Catholics. No, Catholics are Christians. We just have a different theological construct regarding forgiveness and intercession. You see, they believe if you're tripping, you messed up, you go tell the priest behind the curtain. And then the priest talked to Jesus. Then the Jesus talked back to the priest. Then the priest talked back to you. Touch your neighbor and say, that's too many people in my business. That's too, no, that's way too many people. He better get his own self straight and get him a wife and come out the basement, some of them. No, I ain't got time for that. No, they got their own issues. I can go to God in secret prayer. I wish I had somebody that knows just a little talk with Jesus. Do I have anybody that talk to him when you're riding in the car? Hey, millennials, you talk to him when you're in the dorm. Talk to him on the basketball court. I love it. Made me want to shout. Alabama, I gave y'all this. This for young brothers who play football and shoot hoop. They asked the brother from Alabama who was the quarterback a couple years ago. Some of y'all remember Tua threw that bomb to win the championship. They said, how were you as a freshman able to compose yourself after just getting sacked for 15 yards and run back and throw a bomb to end the game in the national championship? He told the reporters, I just start speaking in tongues. Woo, y'all just missed that. You don't have to be Pentecostal and old and at church. You can be young and say, God, I don't know what to do. Run down my coat. However you pray, don't you let nobody tell you that you can't pray from your spirit. Hey, downtown, here's what trips me up. The Bible says, let us come boldly, which means you just bust up in there and say, God, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. Let us come boldly. I don't care where you are. You can pray. You can pray. But then most of you miss it. To the throne of grace. Put it on the screens. I think it's so worth looking at. Can you imagine how much grace there has to be that it takes the whole throne? He says the throne of grace, which means if you did something stupid this week, bust a move, slept with your boyfriend, thought some nasty thought, was a little evil, off kilter. I know all of us mess up so much. Thank God for Jesus. You just come to the throne of grace. Don't trip. Don't feel guilty. Don't beat yourself up. Just come to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy. Watch this. You missed the whole thing. And find grace to help. Now, I'm gone. We got to have some fun because I want this sermon to be substantive, fun, all that. But I want you to catch the meat of it. I guess here's the meat in the middle. Here's the meat in the middle. So come here because he says, grace to help. Come to me close. Say grace to help. Grace. Somebody holler grace to help. Grace. When I say grace to help, I mean this. God don't always fix what I want him to fix. I've been doing this 2 decades, honestly, including my first church. I have been pastoring an official 20 years, a little over now, including my stint at my first ministry. And if I've learned anything pastoring people and walking through sickness and walking through marriages, there are people I've been praying with for 20 years, and God has not fixed what we asked for. Now, any preacher tell you different, that's erroneous theology. So, Pastor, how come they're not crazy? Because he gave them grace to help. You didn't hear what I just said. Don't you understand if God don't fix it, he'll give you enough grace not to lose your mind? So why don't you have church with me that you're not cuckoo right now? Why don't you praise God that he's kept you through your son, through your boyfriend, through that marriage, through your mom and him, through the cancer? Didn't God give you, you know what? He says, I help you. I was walking. I baptized yesterday. I don't know when you're watching by television, but I baptized downtown yesterday. We baptized 30 candidates. Give God praise for that. I just baptized. And church was over. I went outside. We kind of redid the parking lot there. So I was looking and just wanted to look at the campus. Next thing I know, I'm just walking down 55th, and security, like, where is he going? They just jumped in the car. And I said, y'all, come on, just catch up. I just got to walk. It was a nice day, and I'm getting ready to do something big down there in terms of philanthropy and outreach. So I just wanted to walk. I went to the 2 gas stations, and I'll talk about that in a minute, told them what I want to do. And the next thing I know, I'm in Outway. I'm in the old project, we used to call them. And now, you know, I'm at POC, and I walk up in POC and come to find out the Cavs have put a new basketball court in for them. And I was so happy the Cavaliers did that because the floor was so dated and antiquated. And then I found out they're still going to allow me. And y'all pray for me. The city of Cleveland has allowed me, given me the okay to put the R.A. Vernon Education Wing inside of POC. I'm so happy. Because parents are coming up there trying to print resumes. Kids are trying to print homework, don't even have a printer or a computer in their homes. And so if we can put this education wing in, they'll be able to do homework, print stuff. Grown-ups can do resumes. Don't be clapping. Give me some money for it. Praise God. This is my personal venture. Walk up to me and say, Pastor, put this on the computers, okay? Don't be clapping. Give me some money, honey. I got a lot going, but I sure want to do that. Long story short, I'm make my way. Next thing I know, I'm in Longwood. And if you ever want to hear somebody talk, find what I call the down-the-way philosophers. It's a beautiful thing. Brothers put it to say, yeah, you know, Pastor, I watch you on TV. But your God is what God is. If he's God, he may be God. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm BCO. I'm BCO in the heart. And I watch you. And I'm telling you, God, to you, I'm like, right, go ahead, bro. Talk your stuff, whatever it is. Just give me a hug. Just down-the-way philosophers. I love it. And so I go to Longwood Plaza, and Dave's has moved from down the way, so I'm trying to figure out how people down there are going to shop who don't have a car, so I'm tripping through all that. And lady rode up and said, Pastor Vernon. I said, hey, baby. She said, I called you. I said, how? She said, I called to church. I had to speak to you, and they didn't let me speak to you. I was like, well, that's probably not going to happen, baby, but I'm here right now. She said, come here. She said, I want you to pray for me. I said, why? She said, I got cancer. I said, how long you had it? She said, 6 years. She said, I just want you to pray for me. I said, you know what I'm about to do? I'm about to ask God to help you. I said, I don't know if he's going to move everything, but I can tell you one thing. He's going to fix your soul. Yes. I said, I don't know if you're going to live 30 years or 30 days or 30 minutes, but do you know if your hand is in his hand? And I watched those tears come down her face. Okay, I'm gone. I'm laying in the bed the other morning. God wakes me up. I shake victory, Lady Vernon, victory. I shake Lady Vernon. I said, baby, God told me what we want from him. If we just ask him, he'll help us. I don't know who this is for. It may be, he said, you're so busy trying to fix it. He said, I'm glad you're not lazy, but why don't you just ask me? He says, why don't you take 30 days in a row and just get up and ask me for what you want, and you'd be surprised what I'll do if you just call on me while you're trying to figure it out. God is already. I wish, I don't know who that was for, but God said, you're so busy planning and scheming and looking to social media psychologists, trying to get hearts and likes when they don't like you and you don't have their hearts. But you're so busy trying to figure out other means and who's doing what. He said, if you just ask me, I'll help you. He says, you may not be the results you want, but I'll help you. I don't know who this word is for. To that end, I want to implement something right now. Matter of fact, bring that to me right quick. I want to implement something called the no phone zone. The no phone zone. All right, it's been meaty. Hopefully it's been meaningful. But now let's be practical. I want you to, look at me. Say no phone zone. Hey, you don't have to do this, but I want to help you. I'm your pastor. There are certain places and certain times, certain areas you should consider the no phone zone. One such place is date night. Put it in there. Date night. No one should be on the phone on date night. Why are you on a date? These two are married, by the way. I said, give me some married couples so they can touch for real. I was nervous yesterday. The couple wasn't married. I was like, whoa, Jesus. That's too much acting. Too much acting. I said, get me some. So they married, so don't get nervous. I said, get me. And then I said, tell the husband to say some crazy stuff to her, so she'll be giggling on stage. So I don't know what he's saying right now, but I think it's some good stuff. Don't tell me. Say date night. Date night. Say date night. Date night. No couple should take both phones on date night. Leave one home. Up to me, we leave both home. But every mother feels like the kid's gonna die. Why? Baby, they might die. Well, baby, they'll be dead when we get back. Praise God. My wife, Talking about baby Shanae may call her. Baby Shanae is 20,009 years old. She's in the bed with a man right now. You better get in the bed with your man. She in the bed with her man. You talking about Shanae. Shanae is in the bed right now, happy. And you getting on my nerves talking about you. Which phone should you leave? The one that rings the most. Yeah, and if it was up to me, we'd take none. But I know mothers feel like the children. We do have small children. But I'm telling you, to be on the phone, I was so sad to see that couple in Paris waste a moment. Sometimes we're so busy, even when we're traveling, trying to capture a moment that we miss it. You should have seen me trying to get the video picture. And mothers have missed their child taking the first step trying to record it. Just look up. Maybe God don't want everything recorded. Maybe some things are just for that moment. And every part, maybe God just said, just stop and just take it in. There'll never be another moment like that. Yeah. So couples, I want you to declare. And by the way, I'm peeping a parenthetical, so let me pause. Everybody lean on your neighbor and say, don't forget the I'm grown zone. I thought I'd say that because people go home, Pastor Vernon said, and he's like, he not my father. I'm going to keep my phone. Never marry people. I've got to do a series on marriage soon. Never demand anything from a grown-up. Just make suggestions. And hopefully you have somebody mature enough that honors you enough to go with your suggestion. You demand things from children. So your spouse may say, baby, let's put the phones up. No, I need my phone. I got a call coming in. Say, okay, baby, whenever you get a chance, I think it's, you know, let's just try to, but don't demand it because they're grown. Maybe they're waiting on something from their mom. So don't demand it. So, but I think every couple here should say, there's certain times, be surprised how many couples are laying up at night looking at the light of their phone. And that's just about 80% of couples now. He's looking at Sports Center, you're checking out Facebook, and we're just laying there. My wife and I did a no TV in our room rule nearly 15 years ago that has changed everything. There's no TV in our room. You're grown. We want to make love, sleep, and talk, and pray in the bedroom. Yeah, no eating in there. It's not the kitchen. Praise God. It's not the kitchen. It's not the kitchen. And there's no TV watching. Go to the TV area. I built a TV area just for that. Baby, go over there to that side. I don't want that. Our room is for lovemaking, for praying, for talking. Not only date night, but my goodness, this is crazy. What in the world is this? And this was us one day. How did it start? I'm sitting there a few years ago in the great room. I'm serious, guys. And Shanae and Jason were married yet. And Jason looking at his phone and Shanae looking at hers, I promise you. And Ray looking at his. I think my nephew Tino was over. He looking at his. And Lady Vernon looking. And I said, this is the devil. Now, I don't want to be the get off my lawn pastor because you won't have any millennials in your church. Phones are not going away. Technology is a blessing in so many ways. We want to be balanced here. In other words, don't be acting like you don't thank God for technology. Some of you old enough to remember you went down south and you had to use a map. And you're talking about, Butch, which way? Well, wait a minute, Eileen. I take 71. Say here. And remember we in the back with cold chicken and Fago pop? Raise your hand. Just, are we there yet? What time are we going to do? That was child abuse. That wasn't a vacation. Remember, in order to find out what kind of movie was playing, you had to call 1-800-CINEMA-6 and push 9 numbers. Now you can just Google. So technology is beautiful. No one's going to throw their phones away. I guess I just want balance. I guess it was the sermon for. And family night is not a night. If we sitting in the living room, boy, give it to me. Give it to me. I'll whoop you in front of your father. Give it to me. Give it to me. Daddy, you ain't got enough money to do that all day. Give me that, Daddy. Praise God. You got stuff to do. Give me the other one, too. Give it. Don't try to keep that one. Give me that. Mama, 4 hours a day, women. You got babies and a husband. And girl, please, and who you talking to and what you doing, what you planning on doing? It look wrong. I can just, you better monitor all. No, this is the no. Why don't y'all actually play and enjoy each other? What about some board games or something? Go ahead. Go ahead. What about some board games? Isn't that something? Why not really enjoy one another? I know this is old-fashioned and old school, but I believe it. Yeah, it changed our life. Even on vacation, I take their phones. I paid all this money, and we gonna sit up here and be on the phones? No, let's enjoy one another. The no phone zone can revolutionize your family. Another place real quick, what about this? Driving. I don't know who's watching. Lady Vernon gave me a staggering stat last night, and that is 53 people in Ohio in 2018 died in accidents because attention was diverted by some gadget. Yeah, 512 persons in accidents in Ohio. Driving is not the time. I want to beg all of you. I pull over if I have to. I will not text even a little bit. I won't even check a text while driving to hit some little girl and kill her. I couldn't live with myself while I'm just trying to check on some text. I'm not going to do that. Why don't you make a commitment in the presence of Jesus that no matter what you have to do, you will not text and drive the rest of your life. Make that commitment. It could be life-changing. I'll tell you another place, personal devotion. Personal devotion, personal devotion, personal devotion. Some people, I pray before I cut my phone on. I don't cut my phone on, Pastor. I use the worship music and I look at my Bible app. If so, then put it on airplane mode because it should never ring or see a text while you're in the presence of God. Yeah, if I had audience with President Trump, no matter what you feel about him, if I don't love the person, I respect the office. If for any reason President Trump and I had a discourse or a meeting, do you think I would let my phone ring while I was meeting with him? Or President Obama or Clinton? Do you think I'd have 10 minutes with the president? I'm sorry, Mr. President. Do you think I would do that when God has given me audience? When you have audience with Jesus, you don't want nothing to disturb your time with Jesus. Jesus is bigger. And so I use a Bible. I use something else. I don't use my phone during that time. Is that good, everybody? Well, Pastor, you're making me cut my phone off. What if something really does happen? What if my mother, okay, get a home phone. Am I the last person here with a home phone? Somebody, push somebody under 30. So there used to be something called home phones. Push somebody. I know your cell phone. I have a red line. I know what I do for a living. Uh-oh. Oh, Lord Jesus. This is too good. Let me get it back together. Praise God. Amen. That's all right. Can y'all hear me decent? That's all right. Give it to me, Michael. All right.
Am I good?
I have something, and I mean this. I have something. I have a red line in my office, which means if that phone rings, I know it's something important. I can run up there and get it. I called Bishop Joy one time. I said, Bishop, why didn't you answer the phone? He said, because it's mine. Y'all just missed that. He said, Pastor Vernon, watching my television, he said, I don't live my life by the tyranny of the moment. He said, I bought my phone for me, not other people. How many of you, moment of honesty, have been 2 miles from home and realized you left your phone and turned around? Did y'all receive that today? Watch this, everybody. So I'm gonna let y'all go when I give y'all this. Watch this. So verse 2 and 3 says this, and you'll love this. Jesus never sleeps nor slumbers. God is up all night. When you sleepy, you can call on Jesus. If you can't fall asleep at night, Pastor, who should I look to? I'm finished. Here's my last scripture. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author, let's have church, and the finisher of our faith. Can't nobody, no man, no woman, no social media, no app, no Instagram, no Twitter speak to you more than Jesus. So, Pastor, who should I call? One more time, touch three people, tell them, call Jesus. Go ahead. Call Jesus more than you call anybody else in the world. Jesus will be there for you when nobody else is. I'm finished. Look at me. All I want is balance. Somebody say balance. When I say balance, it is this. Don't throw your phones away. Some of you make money with your phone. You're an entrepreneur. Your phone is how you eat. In my case, it helps me a lot. But be careful not to let nothing get in front of Jesus. He is the God of all grace. He'll be there when everybody else leaves you. And sometime I want you to ignore everybody for him. You make him first. This is not get off my lawn, antiquated preacher. You won't have any millennials in your church. Technology and phones and Twitter and Instagram are not going anywhere, so at least use it to the glory of God. If you ever watch me post, I'm normally posting something about what God is doing, what God can do. Let's use it. Matter of fact, I want to do this, and we're going to go. If you appreciate me, please don't anybody walk until I dismiss today, because you've been such a great crowd, and look what time it is. I'm aware that kickoff is at 1 o'clock. The Holy Spirit just spoke to me. Spirit of God said, 1 o'clock. Stop laughing. And so, somebody say balance. So this altar call snuck me. Some altar call sneak you, because this is not like a run around the church sermon. Don't miss next week, because by the time we get through breaking every curse off your life, financially and relationally, you don't know what God's going to do. Something's going to break open. The mass choir going to sing next weekend. Be here. It's going to be crazy. We're going to church next week. And we're going to break and block the devourer. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, I want all my money back. Go ahead. Yeah. Say, I want my blessings back. Tell them, I want my family back. So we're about to take the top off of it. We're going to take the top off of it. I want you to get a hold of this. Take a picture of it right quick. Take a picture of it. Thank you upstairs, Phil. Thank you for thinking ahead of me, Phil. Thank you, because I want you to get a hold of this. Take a picture of it, because this is something. 8 things that happen when I put down my phone. I become more productive. I need some straight up people. How many of you ever been on Instagram or something and you looked up, an hour and a half went by? And you was like, that was a bunch of mess. You know how much money you could have made? Know how many books you could have read? Know how much math you could have taught your child? Know how many people you could have called in your family and just said, I'm praying for you? How you doing? I become more social. In airports, the whole airport is looking down. Mama's sitting next to her daughter. They both got their phones on. Nephew's sitting there. We all not talking. We just looking down. Nobody doing this. Nobody even have board games. I'm less stressed. You know why you're stressed? You're comparing yourself to people who got more than you. Yeah, that's what you're doing. You're looking at what everybody has, because everybody puts their best self on social media. Nobody put their ugly face on Instagram. Everybody put this one. And you thinking she's so cute. I live in the moment. I live in reality and not in a virtual world. What does that mean? All the girls look so fine. You don't know. I'm going to get you, sucker. That ain't her butt, her lips, her hair. Perfect, just everything, just virtual, just lying, trying to be cute. And now you're trying to match that intensity, feeling like you're not attractive or you're not cute. Be careful. My relationships are better with others. I feel more empowered. I'm happy. The praise team is going to worship. I got time on the clock left. All I want you to do, this is not for everybody. Please, nobody move, nobody gets hurt. If this is you today and you feel this altar call snuck me off kilter, life out of balance a little bit, trying to balance them and him, and you find yourself looking as an escape. Somebody told me, honestly, when they look at Instagram, it relaxes them. After a long day, they just kind of swipe, and it brings them down. I don't know if I would want that to bring me down. Yeah, I'm not judging you. Don't get rid of Instagram. You can connect with people. Don't get rid of, unless it's hurting you, unless you're lusting after women and looking at bodies that's making your wife look less attractive, than I would delete it from my phone. Anything that gets in front of your relationship with Jesus, get rid of it. Amen, everybody. Run to the altar if you feel like life is out of balance and you need me to pray for you. I don't know who I'm talking to. Just get up and run to the altar. If you feel like life is out of balance, I don't know who the altar is for. Right quick, we're going to go home in just a minute. Thank you. Thank you. They're coming. Run fast. Run fast. If you feel like this sermon, God was speaking to you about balance. I dare some teenagers to ignore your mother and come up here by yourself and say, I'm 13 and I'm addicted to my phone, Pastor. My mama gave me a gadget when I was 3. I have never put it down. My mama taught me how to read with an iPhone. I don't know anything but a gadget. their kids that if you take their phone for 2 weeks, they're getting itchy. Psychologists are saying kids are walking around like they on crack and getting nervous and mad and depressed when mama takes their phone because they've had it all their life, an iPad, something. Come close, come on, come close. Come around, come around, come around, come close. Come around, come around, come around. This is gonna be quick. Come on, y'all ready? Don't walk out, don't walk out. If you honor God, don't walk out. Father, thank you in the name of, come on, lift your hands. Everybody should be standing for a minute. Let's just believe God to break off every addiction. Come on. I pray balance over women who trying to do him and them and money and their mother. I pray for people in the sandwich years. You're 40-something. Kids are grown. They need your help. Parents are getting sick and dying. They need you. I pray for people, men that are dealing with strongholds of pornography. Just sing a little bit. Sing a little. Jesus. Everybody say, I want to pray right now in the name of Jesus. I break every stronghold. Come on, lift your hands now. Everybody out of balance right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, make them put you first again. They will seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and all things shall be added. God, I pray now for balance all over this church. I break addictions to phones, to social media, to alcohol, to Facebook, to reefer, to vaping. We break every addiction in this room. Lord, give them balance. Let us put you first on the throne. Jesus and no other. Before my mother, before my husband, before my wife, before my job. Jesus, we give you back first place. Jesus, we repent. We're coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. God, we need you now. I pray for every campus downtown. I pray for every person watching across the world. Lord, I pray now for blessings to fall on everyone in this room. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
You're tuned in to the voice of the gospel, beaming the gospel in three states to over 100,000 listeners, 70,000 watts of continuous gospel power. KAYT-FM.
Ogden Auto Glass in Delhi salutes our area healthcare providers, first responders, and EMTs serving on the front lines of COVID-19. It is with humility we extend our thanks to you. Thank you for showing up daily in the face of fear and fighting for the health of our loved ones. This message has been courtesy of your good friends at Ogden Auto Glass at 2274 Highway 17 in Delhi. Their number is 318-488-0271. They are always working to keep our community moving in a positive direction. Ogden Auto Glass is a proud sponsor of 99.3 KQJO Natchez, Mississippi.
Aren't you tired of living from paycheck to paycheck, paying extremely high interest rates on very small loans? Do you want to make more money? My name is Catrice Mason. I will help you remove any inaccurate, erroneous, and obsolete information from your credit file, including foreclosures, student loans, judgments, late payments, repossessions, bankruptcies, tax liens, charge-offs. It doesn't matter what the item may be, it can be removed. You can also build your credit by paying your rent on time. I'm also looking for like-minded entrepreneurs who are interested in earning additional income. You have the opportunity to be your own boss, make residual income, get paid weekly, make your own hours, and you can work from anywhere. You will help people to reach their financial goals while reaching your own. Change your financial situation and leave a legacy for your family today. Catrice Mason, 318-730-8441. Again, that number is 318-730-8441. Your credit does matter. It is not an option. It is a priority.
Your Credit Matters is another proud sponsor of KAYT KQJO-FM.
You know, sometimes you got to use the good sense God gave you and make the right decisions. Wearing a face mask protects you and it protects other people as well. Don't be the one in your family everyone is crying for because you're about to be put 6 feet under. Wear your mask and stay 6 feet apart from other people when you're in public. It's as simple as that. Use your head and help stop the spread of COVID-19.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
the highest mountain. Looked all around, couldn't find nobody. Went down to the deepest valley. Looked all around down there, couldn't find nobody. I went across the deep blue sea. Couldn't find one to compare to your grace, your love, your mercy. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater, nobody greater, no, nobody greater than you. Nobody can heal like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome in all your ways, and my years ahead. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. Body greater, Jesus. Nobody greater than you. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, Jesus. Nobody greater than you.
Charles, 100.1.
What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do if they find that it's true?
Recently, an Arabic TV reporter asked an 11-year-old girl who had been forced to flee her home in Iraq about her feelings toward ISIS. With a cheerful smile, Miriam said, "I will only ask God to forgive them." In the Bible, Jesus said to us, "Don't be afraid, I am with you." And also he said, "Forgive others, no matter who they are hating you." This young girl living in a refugee camp should serve as an inspiration. As Jesus said, "Unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." For more from the Voice of the Martyrs, go online to persecution.com.
You're not alone. You've been hurting way too long. it over and to leave it there. It's gonna be all right.
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 So everything that you've been worried about,
put it on the altar.
You need him to work it out. He'll work it out, yeah.
Put it on the altar.
All of your burdens, spring of all day.
Put it on the altar.
You're gonna get an answer to your prayer if you
put it on the altar.
I know you need healing,
yeah.
You're sick of being sick, you need relief. You're tired of the pressure,
yeah.
You got all the stress and you need some peace. Come on and get your breakthrough,
breakthrough.
Haven't you been suffering long enough? Make your way down to the altar, hand it over, leave it there. It's gonna be alright.
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 So everything that you've been worried about.
investing on the cutting edge of technology. You can't stop, can't stop, can't stop, can't stop listening.
Governor John Bel Edwards here with a message to everyone. COVID-19 is alive and well in our state. No one, whether young or young at heart, is immune. As a result of an increase in cases and hospitalizations, Louisiana will remain in phase two for the next few weeks. Everyone, wear your mask, social distance, and wash your hands frequently. These measures help protect you, your loved ones, and community. Visit coronavirus.la.gov for more information. Thank you, and God bless.
Malachi Detailing Shop at 1100 Bolton Avenue in Alexandria, open 9:15 to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. It's a friendly, safe environment where prayer is a priority and your vehicle detailing needs are met at an affordable price. At Malachi Detailing Shop, pleasing you is their business. Malachi Detailing Shop, owned and operated by Eugene Stevenson at 1100 Bolton Avenue. 318-613-6715. That's 318-613-6715.
May I have your attention?
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
The best variety in music.
Different music.
Tons of music.
It's awesome.
Online, anytime. 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Oh, search me, Lord. Please search me, Lord. Now you just turn the lights from heaven on my soul. Shouldn't be. Take it out and straighten me.